Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. In today's first reading, taken from the Old Testament book of Numbers, we see the real humanity of the Israelites and of Moses, the deliverer. The different English Bible titles, beginning title this story in different ways. Numbers chapter 11, it's either titled Complaining in the Desert or Discontent of the People or some similar title. The beginning of the chapter, which we didn't hear a minute ago, says that the people complained about their misfortunes. The Lord got angry with them. He punished them for it. Then they complained to Moses about being punished, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and God gave them reprieve because of Moses' prayers. But then they just kept complaining, essentially. Our first reading opens by saying, the children of Israel lamented, Numbers 11, verse 4. But actually, the beginning of that verse in Scripture reads this way. Now, the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. If you were to look up the word rabble in the Hebrew there, it means a bunch of vagabonds. In more crass terms, it's the mob, essentially. So this passage is kind of about Moses and the mob. Would that we had more meat for food, the rabble or the mob cries out. We remember the fish we used to eat without cost in Egypt, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now we are famished. We see nothing before us but this manna. Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6. So forget about the slavery, the insufferable forced labor, having their children drowned in the Nile River by the order of Pharaoh. Now they only remember the comforts and the good things of their beloved Egypt. This nearsighted, self-centered, pleasure-centered, worldly-centered humanity vision is kind of humanity at its finest or at its worst, we could say. But it is a reality that's kind of all too familiar with us. And this is why our Lord says in Numbers 32:11, he says, surely none of the men who came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. He made exceptions there for Caleb and Joshua, as stated in the next verse. You know, probably nothing grieves a parent as much as a selfish, self-centered, ungrateful child. Multiply that by about 2 million, and that's what you have in the desert with Moses. Even with Moses, the frustration spills over. Why do you treat me so badly? He says to God in Numbers 11:11. Why are you so displeased with me that you burden me with all this people? Was it I who conceived all this people? Or was it I who gave them birth? Where can I get meat for all these people? If this is the way you deal with me, then please do me the favor of killing me at once, so I need no longer face this distress. Numbers 11, verses 11 through 13 and 15. Just kill me, get it over with, he says. In simple words, Moses is fed up with the people and the burden of his mission, and he lets God know about it. His frustration, however, does not hurt his relationship with the Lord. It's human and it's understandable, especially if you consider the fact that he's having to deal with all of this in his 80s, 90s, 100s, all the way up to 120 when he passes away. The struggles and the pains of the Israelites were very self-centered. The struggles and the pains of Moses, by and large, were centered on doing the Lord's will. Even though both parties complained, there was a world of difference between those two complaints. And just a little later on in Numbers chapter 12, we see Moses' older sister Miriam and his brother Aaron. What do? They turn against him too, because they didn't like the spouse that he just married. The reasons they didn't approve of her are not clear in the scripture. But in the face of this family discord, guess who God comes to defend? It's actually Moses. He says to Aaron and Miriam, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted with all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in dark speech. and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Numbers 12, verses 6 through 8. And Miriam, the instigator of the descent, was then punished by God with temporary leprosy. Temporary, why? Because Moses prayed that God would cure her, and he did. One Protestant scholar calls Moses God's vicar on earth, a kind of papal figure. So even when he's having a bad day, even when he's having a bad week, or a bad 40 years, here's some advice. Don't mess with Moses. Just don't mess with him. And all this to say that whenever we're speaking about God's sinful and selfish people, whether we're speaking about them or whether we're speaking about the greatest among his chosen saints, they're all human. They all struggle at times. We need to pray for God's sinful children that we, essentially, would let go of our sins and our self-centered ways and humble our hearts and turn to the Lord. We also need to pray for the Moseses that are in our midst as well, that the Lord would continue to strengthen them in their mission of greatly assisting the redemption which Jesus has won for us and which they are helping to bring about in our time. So let's ask Our Lady for the grace to do these things, and let's not forget, don't mess with God's Moseses. That includes his vicar in Rome, by the way. Don't mess with him. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.